The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Notice, not in common, but common. For a while, I want to preach from the subject, you can make it if you abide in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can make it if you abide in Christ. Now say to yourself, self, I can make it if I abide in Christ. Just for you that may not have already noticed, our banner says still standing 24 years. But the theme of our year is living at the level of my entitlement and my responsibilities. Living at the level of my entitlement and my responsibilities. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 is where this is taken from. Living at the level of my entitlement. That is what God has entitled me to live. And my responsibilities to him. You can make it if you abide in Christ. I was studying the Word of God. And as I was studying, I was reminded that far too many of us as members of the body of Christ are at times tied up and tangled up by some problem or that has no authority over us and no business in our face. Notice in this scripture, our mother church, they were saved, steadfast, happy, excited, vibrant, connected, convinced, convicted, and courageous, and they had all things common. Not in common, but common, which means because of their oneness, everybody's prayers and needs were met. Oh, isn't that a wonderful place to be? Oh, don't you wish you could just be there? You see, for far too many of us have received Christ, are saved, regularly attend church, receive the word while we're here, but when we leave, we are seemingly overrun by family issues, moral issues, financial issues, say amen when I get to your part, and even spiritual issues, which cause us to feel all alone and defeated. The sad thing is, all of these issues And none of them, in fact, came from God. But all of these issues, God has already made provision for, and they cannot have power or sway over us. But yet, we get bogged down. Come on, somebody, I know I'm telling the truth. And you know what? And the thing is, it's not just new members or new converts. It is also some of us who have been here for years, can quote scripture, are involved in ministry, can loudly sing, "I'm on the battlefield for the Lord," yet outside of these walls, we are either fallen soldiers, wounded soldiers, ineffective soldiers, or just plain AWOL. And for those of you that don't know what AWOL is, it's absent without leave, while the battle for lost souls and eternal security rages on. But, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die, because I'm on the battlefield for the Lord and won't make it to 3 o'clock today. Am I right about it? Somebody just say amen. Amen. God showed me while I was studying that it is time for, here at Solid Rock, it is time for a spiritual boot camp where we can retrain and reemphasize the keys to assured victory in our walk with Christ. It's time for boot camp. Go back to the basics. So for everyone who is serious about your desire to have a closer relationship with Christ, to learn his word, to be faithful in your walk, and who wants to be all that God created them and saved them to be, no matter how small or inadequate you may feel, no matter how defeated you have been in the past, then come to Bible study and grow. Come and grow. Come and grow. Tony Evans, I don't know how many of you know Tony Evans. He said this, an acorn is a small little thing, and it is hard to believe that the potential of a full-size oak tree is in that tiny thing. But residing in that nut is phenomenal growth potential to be an oak tree. Now, an oak tree is strong because its roots go way down deep into the ground. So whenever the storm brews, the oak tree is not intimidated. Now, your house might be intimidated, but not the oak tree standing in your front lawn. This tree has a solid foundation. In the same way, the deeper your spiritual roots go, the more secure you can be when the storm comes your way. The spiritual maturity that occurs when you grow as a Christian keeps you rooted and grounded and able to withstand all difficulties when they come your way, end quote. We sometimes think we're by ourselves, but if a little bitty acorn can make a massive oak tree, your faith can move mountains. Your faith can get you through any obstacle that may come your way. Let me say this and rush on. The purpose of this training is to teach every interested, dedicated, saved individual how to live at the level of their entitlement and their responsibility. Every saved individual, because see, this is not going to work for the unsaved. This is an unsaved person can't come to boot camp and get anything. They may learn something, but there will not be change. First, Again, you must know you are saved. In fact, I'm going to give you the subject matters we're going to deal with. We dealt with that this week. You must know that you are saved. You must trust God to perform his word. The next subject will be you must live holy and receive and righteous lives. Then you must expect and accept disappointments. And then remember what Christ did and does for us. And then be willing to be like Christ. You see, you must understand, and this is a problem for a lot of people. Church is not a building or a place where you come, nor a feeling you sometimes have. For a Christian, it is and must always be who you are and not some place you come. I said the other night at Bible study, it just gets on my nerve to hear folk talking about, now let's have church. How are you going to have what you are if you're saved? Let's have church. It's almost like church is a special feeling or a place that we go in our worship. Church is it's a feeling on the inside that I know something happened today. That's that is not church. If you're part of the body of Christ, you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. You are the church. You don't have to go anywhere. So don't equate church as being a building with an organ and a preacher and a collection plate. That is not church. Church is who you are. During these teachings, you will learn that there are social life lessons and there are spiritual life lessons. Just as there are secular laws and responsibilities we are required to obey and do, more importantly, there are spiritual laws and requirements, responsibilities to God. We are both required to know and to obey. When we live according to God's requirements, we will live at the level of our entitlement in Christ, and victory is assured. How many people want victory? How many people like to lose? Let me see. Everybody like to lose? Raise your hand. I just love to lose. I saw one hand. Because most of us don't. But we don't have to take winning to an extreme. What we have to know is that if we're in Christ, we're assured to win. Failure is not an option. Am I right about it? As pastor, it is my desire that you live in and enjoy the spiritual benefits, wealth, health, and security God has made available to you. Amen. Once again, it's all in your mind. I got to go again on week after next to see my doctor for prostate cancer. I have no fear. Amen. Afraid of what? God has it all in control. How long have I had cancer now? 4 or 5 years? At least. I have no fear of it. Why? Why? As I've said here, I have cancer. Cancer doesn't have me. And it can only get me when I fear it. Fear kills you. Another question, then I'm going to get back to my sermon. How many people have ever seen the boogeyman? Raise your hand. Everybody ever seen the boogeyman? He was in your closet, come on, when you were a child. How many people have seen the boogeyman? You ain't seen him. We're scared to death of him. And he doesn't exist. That's what fear does to you. Fear of failure. Fear that I'm not adequate enough to do this. It handicaps us. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Am I right about it? And here's a sad thing. To live beneath your God-planned entitlement means you will never achieve your intended potential, joy, happiness, or peace. They will never be yours. Comfort will never be yours. Why? You're living beneath your entitlement. Knowledge of and obedience to God opens the windows of heaven, from where Malachi tells us the blessings of God are poured out to us. Faith and favor, peace and protection, salvation and security, provision and prosperity, health and happiness are all available to all faithful. Let me say it again. Here's what you're entitled to: faith and favor, peace and protection, salvation and security, provision and prosperity, health and happiness are all available to the faithful. Now, if you choose to have a pity party, if you choose to look and see what other folk have that you don't have, if you choose to look and see other folk got somebody and you don't, come on, if you choose to see they're driving a better ride than yours, maybe living in a house a little bit more large than yours, if you choose to do this, then you can't have this. You have to say, I will accept what God has given me, no matter what it looks like, because I'm going to rule in it. Obedience to God is not an outward act nor lifestyle one can perform, for it does not originate in our limbs, but from the depths of our hearts. Understand that. No matter what outward thing you do to get attention, it does not impress God. Remember, the scripture said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So no matter what acts of kindness one performs, nor how holy or noble we may appear to be, if it does not originate and stem from your heart, it is a lie before God. And you are what you think. You are your thoughts. We said the other night, some of us are mad at some folk or have been mad at people in the past. You know why we were mad at them? Because they reminded us of us, but we didn't want to admit that. The character flaw they had, we have. But we don't want to, I can't stand them. And how many of those ended up being your best friends after you got past the character flaw and accepted that it was you too? Now, maybe that only happened in the old days, but let me tell you, if you want the assurance of God, you have to be willing to trust God. I was talking with Brother Sammy, or Deacon Sammy, today. We were talking about the area, and he was born in Birmingham too, and I don't know why I'm thinking I just learned that. I probably forgot it. We were born in the Deep South. Segregation was running rampant. Sammy was colored too, as I was, and some of the older members here. What's your point? My point is this. When we went down to the train station to catch the train to come up here, we weren't worried about somebody carrying a pistol and shooting folk at random. So even though it was an oppressive time, it was not a crazy time like the times now. You can't go to the airport and be assured nobody's going to shoot. Come on, you can't go to the train station, bus station. You can't go to the supermarket or the mall. And now, which times were worse? Times of segregation or now? God said, trust in me, believe me, and I will carry you through. Get to your end. Get to the end. Come on now. Hurry up. We've been here too long. What your church, and I'm talking to everybody from the pulpit down to the mice downstairs, what your church needs and expects from you is for you to be truly saved, transparent, and faithful. Your church needs men and women of integrity who walk by faith and not by sight. Not by sight, not by fear, not by double-mindedness. This way one day, some other way tomorrow. You don't know how to approach them because they got that look on their face. Don't know whether to say hello or not. I dare not hug you. Your church needs you and folk who believe God, not believe in God. The devil believes in God. Demons believe in God because they know he exists. But believe God and will stand on his promises. What your church does not need are sometimes attending social members who need to be coddled, cuddled, or cradled because of their lack of faith. The church needs some Psalm 23 type members. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely. We need some Psalm 23 type members. We also need some Joseph in prison members with that kind of faith. That though he hasn't been removed and has been placed in there unethically or illegally, after having done nothing, he never once said a word against God, nor questioned God. We need some of those that when you're tested, you don't question God, you don't question pastor, you don't question your faith, you question the question. And then we need some Daniel type and members with integrity. The Bible does not say one bad thing about Daniel. Even though he was in captivity, Daniel was elevated because of his contact and his faith in God. And then we need some Apostle Paul type of member that has a love for the lost. How many people, don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever brought somebody to church because you knew they were unsaved or they were looking for a church family, but you brought them to be connected? No, we don't bring people to church. We may tell them about it, and then they say, well, I'll come sometime. By the way, you want to go to the mall? Well, yeah, I'll go. You go to the mall with them. Come on. And I dare say some have probably been to Foxwoods and the other place with them, but could not get them to come in here. We ought to bring the lost into the house of God. How you think you got saved? Everybody came into some church unsaved. You weren't born saved. Come on. Somebody brought you in. Bring somebody else in. Want them to know what you know. I'm way off the point. That's point number one. What your church needs and expect from you, it's to be a diligent follower of the word of God. Now, how can you follow when you don't know? That's what boot camp is about. One must know God's word before one can fully obey God's word. We believe all kinds of stuff. Sounds like somebody can get on TV and spout all kinds of nonsense. And we say it sounds good for our ear. Notice on tithing, you watch most of the books, most of the programs, or we'll say tithing was done away with in the Old Testament. I'm not going to do my tithing thing today. Tithing was done away then. But notice this about them also. Most of them are prosperity ministry. They want more than your tithe. And they know they can get it because they're not going to ask you to give up 10%. They're going to end up getting 23% out of you because they said, go sell some tickets, go get some chicken dinners, go do whatever you want to do in order to bring money into the church. But you don't have to tithe. We're not going to require you to tithe. They know that in the size ministry they have, tithing would actually be a way they would lose money, or so they believe. So they speak out against tithing. It's not the way their church would operate. But a lot of them, particularly the mega churches, in order to be a member, you got to bring a W-2 form. They want to know how much money you got. so they'll know how much to get out of you. Oh, it got quiet in here. We don't require your W-2. We require your faithfulness to God and your obedience to Him. That will open up your wallet or your pocketbook. Members who apply, we need members who apply the word of God to their lives and live according to its instructions. Not just in here, but everywhere. We got some folk on your job don't even know you're saved. Because when they ask you tomorrow morning, how's it going? Now, how you doing? It's all right. It ain't never all right for a child of God. You woke up this morning, clothed in your right mind, with a measure of your health and strength. I'm blessed. And I'm blessed beyond measure. And then the church needs members who learn from past victories and past failures. Ones of them, their own selves, and ones that others commit. You got to learn. You can't keep doing the same thing. We have some folk, no names called, are going to be in trouble financially until the rapture of the church. Instead of saving, they go on vacation. They can't afford it. Christmas, they spend all this money on Christmas waiting on their income tax check to come back. And then when it doesn't get here on time, you don't depend on what you don't have, particularly coming from the government. So you spent this money because you knew you filed early and your check should be back by the back by the end of the month. But let the mail break down and what you gonna do? Let the plane carrying your mail crash and it burns. How long is it gonna take you to get your check? You don't put tithes into the box if you don't already have the money in the bank. Don't worry about getting your check tomorrow and putting it in. You don't put what you don't have. Amen. That's called lying. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to release y'all in a little while. Church does not need members who are full of worldly opinions instead of the word of God. The church does not need the uninformed member who lives by somebody else's opinion. Amen. Don't tell me what Dr. Phil said. I don't care. Don't tell me what somebody said. I don't care. Tell me, show me, book, chapter, verse, where you got it from. Let me move on to the next point. The church needs members who are a spiritual asset to the church and will help carry the church's workload. Members who are willing to share with others the blessings, gifts, talents, wisdom, and knowledge God has so freely given to them. Members who can be depended on to stand in the gap when others cannot, and who can give words of encouragement to the unsaved, to the lost, to those who are just going through problems. You have a word of encouragement. The church does not need grumblers who are always part of the problem and never part of the solution, who speak against their church leaders. Now, I don't care if you talk against me, but I do care if you talk against the pastor. To say that again, I don't care if you talk about me, but I do care if you talk against the pastor. Why? Because the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you. Listen to this now. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Everybody can do somebody's job better than them. I can sing better than Luther. I just didn't get my break. Come on, somebody. Come on. Whatever it is that somebody does, somebody is saying they can do it better. Let me tell you this about leadership. It's not as easy as you think. You think we just get up here and talk on Sunday morning? I'm held accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth to you. And if I stand before God tonight, I have to be accountable for what I have taught you, what I have allowed to be taught, and to happen in this place while it was under my stewardship through Christ. You understand? That responsibility is not transferable. I can't turn around and say, Lord, somebody else did that. He said, you were the watchman. You were the one I placed on the gate or on the wall. Why didn't you know that? Let me move on. Church needs someone who can be counted on to be a financial asset to their church. You see, here's what you got to understand. Here's what I found out, thank God, almost now 33 years ago when we started tithing. The tithe is a test of one's obedience and trust in God. That's simply what it is. It's not to get your money, it's a test. In Malachi, God issues this challenge. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. God said, test me, prove me, test me, and see if I won't do it. Some of us never test God because we don't believe it. I ain't giving, that's my money. I worked hard for that money. You use God's resources because you've produced no trees, no metal. You've invented nothing. You use God's resources, and yet it's your money? It's like saying the place you work is my building. It's my place. I produce the most. Churches are not, and we're not intended to operate off the sale of items. If it's true, Jesus got to kick out. He got to go back and apologize for twice cleansing the temple. Nor is a place for us to beg. I'm going to move on because it's getting quiet in here. I don't care about that. I'm long-winded. It's not a place where we're to beg for help. You got some churches, they will send members out to ask every business along a row to give to the church for the revival or for the pastor's anniversary or for something. God doesn't need the money of the unsaved if the saved. See, here's what you have to understand. God placed us here and in here. And if everybody do what he says financially, we would never have to ask anybody for anything at all. Why? He knows who's here. He knows your pocketbook. He knows when you don't tithe. You're going to have to explain that one day. I'm glad I don't. But you're going to have to stand before him and tell him why you did not trust, because not to tithe is not to trust God. You say, I got to hold a little bit back because I got to pay my light bill. I got to hold a little bit back because I got to pay my car note. Or I got to pay off my credit cards. Or I got to pay my bill at Macy's. I got to hold back. I got to hold back. God didn't hold back on you. Amen. Move on, Sharon. Tithing is about the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow a little bit, how much you going to reap? If you sow a lot, how much you going to reap? If you don't sow at all. And that's what tithing is about. It's sowing. And then the church needs someone who cares about unsaved souls. We pray for the salvation. We need somebody to pray for the salvation of the lost, to invite and bring them to worship service, who live the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that their lights may so shine that it will draw others to Christ. Many of us have great lights. We just let them dim by our mouths and sometimes our actions. You can't use this to cuss or to tell people off. God gave it to you for one purpose, praise. His praise shall be where? How are you going to take that same mouth then and use it for profanity? Can't do it. Read James. It says, does salt water and fresh water come out of the same fountain? No, it can't. Neither can this come out of your mouth. Neither can praise and profanity come out of the same mouth. I'm going to move on. The church needs someone who is willing to be like Christ. How do we be like Christ? By comforting or conforming to his blessed example. By focusing our mind on the word of God. By trusting God in every circumstance and situation we face. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." As I take my seat, the purpose of these coming teachings is to empower those who know they are not living the victorious life and who want to, so that they can be strengthened through and by the word of God and know how to walk, when to speak, and when not. My brothers and sisters, I appeal to you to come. I assure you that the lessons will not be taught above the level of anybody's understanding. From the youngest to the oldest, the least educated to the most educated, the newest member to the oldest, we will talk plain. And I only need about an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes on Tuesday nights. Come. You have a DVR? Come. Every night I got NBC Nightly News taped. I don't even have to worry about it. I set it up perpetually. If you have something that's on, tape it. Come and learn how to be the Christian that God has called you and wants you to be. So if you're tired of being a victim instead of a victor, come. If you feel your life is pure, unadulterated hell outside of here, come. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, come. If you want to stop being the devil's plaything, come. You are invited by my voice, but the invitation comes from Christ. I heard him one day say, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will, not maybe, give you rest." Then I heard him say that I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me, Christ said, you can do nothing. Then I heard him say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ is saying this. And I heard him say that I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many people want abundant life? It's not enough to have what I have. I want abundant life. Then he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I'm so glad that Galatians tells me, "But when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive," I like this, "the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. I'm so glad that I learned. Y'all know the story that he walked down. Sometimes I believe he flew down. Through 42 generations. Do I have a witness? Born in Bethlehem. You see, the prophet said, Bethlehem Ephratah, out of you shall come Messiah. As small as you are compared to the other communities, we're going to do a big thing in a small place. That's right. We're going to bring forth the bread of life in the house of bread. Because that's what Bethlehem means. It is the house of bread. They tell me that he was born and they had no place for him. Reverend Dixon preached, do you have a place for Jesus in your heart? Say yeah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do I have a witness? Y'all know the story. Let me get to the chase. He died on an old rugged cross. He died for my sins and your sins. He died until the sun stopped shining. He died until the earth quaked. He died. But early one Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. He ascended to the Father. But I heard in the word of God, soon he's coming back for a church without spot. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christ to come back? I heard somebody say that on the cross, Christ took the sinner's place, drank the sinner's cup, felt the sinner's stripe, and was bruised for the sinner's transgressions. He was bruised for my transgressions. He was thorned because of me. But early that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. You know why I'm so happy? I have found out that I don't have to be broke. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be discouraged. Well, I cannot be. Because see, once you get the word in you, there's some things that cannot happen. Just as demons cannot invade or possess a saved person, there's certain things I don't have to worry about anymore. I don't worry about cussing. At my daughter's age, she's never heard me cuss. Because see, I quit cussing. Here's what you have to understand about the power that God gives you. He gives you the power to quit that which entraps you. So if he gives you the power to quit, you can quit laziness. You can quit the attitude that I won't understand, so I ain't going. You can quit being broke. I get them calls every day. You've been identified as somebody whose credit cards don't have none. Because see, whenever I use my Home Depot, I pay for it next month. I don't take your payment plan. Your payment plan is captivity. Because it makes it a long-range thing that I got to think of. And if I miss payment next month, I'm back to square one. My interest rates have gone up. So you know what I found? That when you pay it off, they keep raising your credit. Like I'm going to be stupid enough to go in there and buy something that's $10,000 from Home Depot. If you don't use it, they make a threat. They say, if you don't use this card in the next month or two, we're going to drop your credit down in half. So most of us will go buy something and put it on time. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help. We have financial advisors here. We have spiritual advisors here. We have folk that know how you can get out of debt, but you can't get out on monthly payments. I said to one of the young men, we were together a couple of weeks ago. I said, look, you want to get out of debt? Here's how you do it. Take the smallest bill you have, double up on it, triple up on it. Because once you pay it off, a victory. All of a sudden, I ain't got that bill. Take the next smallest one, pay it off. Pay it off as soon as you can with the money that was going to the other one. Eventually, you get to the big ones. And they'll drop so fast, you'll be sitting there laughing. And then you'll start getting all the credit cards and saying, you've been approved. Of course I'm approved. I'm in good shape. I get them Capital Ones and everything. I'm approved. I don't want your card, though. Now, I do have American Express. But see, American Express got to be paid off next month. So we ain't good with American Express. I got 3 American Express cards. Yeah, that's true, too. I just didn't cancel 2 of them. Yeah. But here's what I want to help you with, and I'm going to take my seat. If you will come out to Bible study with the heart to hear and understand, you may be out of debt by the end of the year. You certainly will be more spiritual. I ain't talking about just that term. You will be more in spiritual check with God than you are today. You can make this your last year of bondage, but it's going to be. Whatever the problem that keeps you bound, we are going to address it. Not only that, God's going to tell you how to get out from under it. Come on, somebody. I have back problems, but again, back problems don't have me. There are times when it's difficult. But when I have to get up and come up here, I'm going to get up and come up here, because here's one thing the devil will never be able to do. Have me say, I can't go because I'm too sick. Do you realize if I take that as an excuse, he will get permission to use sickness on me all the time. It's what you do not allow. Huh? When you ought to allow in terms of holding you back. I ain't allowing it. I'm not allowing cancer. I'm not allowing any of it. I'm not allowing back problems. I'm not allowing anything but the will of God for my life. I'm going to sit down now. But I want you to understand, I'm challenging you. Here's what happens. You'll post it on Facebook that you're having problems. Some of y'all will call me. But you call me when it's way too past where it ought to have been. If you really want help, call when it first happens. And say, how do I deal with this, rather than let it get so far back that now you got to deal with it. I don't have anything pressing to do. Well, I got one thing pressing to do. I got one area that I really need a lot of help in. I'm going to need a lot of prayer from y'all. And that's my income taxes. See, I itemize everything. And I've never paid them. I've never had to pay. My problem is this. I'm tired of putting the paperwork back together. I got all those receipts. I meticulously do it. Am I right, dear? I got boxes from every year. I itemize everything. I got all this. I'm just sick and tired. I would rather they keep my tax money and just leave me alone. Y'all pray for me there. So as soon as I get to the financial part, y'all throw it back to me. Do your taxes, Pastor. Do your taxes. Now, again, I ain't running from them. They owe me money every year. I take my time sending them in. Not because I'm protesting. I just don't want to do it. You know, all them statements. See. Move on. God has given you this opportunity. I may have said what I did sometimes in jest, but I mean it in truth. God has told me, and these have come as I shared in the office, sitting on the side of the bed after having gone to bed. I usually take my iPad and put right next, and then I start, and then I realize I couldn't type as fast as I could write. So I keep a little notebook next now, and I write down everything as he is saying it, because I don't trust myself to remember it. And I want it just the way he said it. I guarantee you that if you will come and be honest with God and yourself, you can overcome this year. Let us stand.